Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast.
What did they influence you to do that you wouldn't have done if they had not been around? Just think about it. What has happened in your life? What are decisions you've made? What are things you've done that you never would have done if they hadn't been there? And if they hadn't pushed you to do it? For me, I was 13 years old. It was right after basketball practice. I grew up in Florence, South Carolina, and I went to First Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. We were the big Baptist church downtown. On the corner, we had a gym at our church, and our church actually hosted the basketball league, and so we practiced at my church, and it was a basketball practice. I was playing 14 and under basketball. I was 13. There were guys older than me. There were two guys in particular on the team. They were a year older than me, and they were infinitely cooler, and they were just the coolest guys. Super popular, and wanted to be like them. And so after practice, we were waiting on somebody's mom to come pick us up. Most of us lived in the same neighborhood, so we were waiting for her to come pick us up. And there was a convenience store right beside our church. The deacons had voted that we weren't supposed to go there, but we still did. We weren't allowed to go to the convenience store. Kind of had to sneak over. So we went to the convenience store to get some Gatorade, I guess, or whatever. And when we walked to the convenience store, they looked at me and said, "You know what would be cool?" And I was like, "What? If you stole something. Why don't you steal something? What?" But they kept going. Like, "Yeah, man, it would be so cool. Now, why don't you steal something? You got to steal something. You'd be so cool to steal." And I'm like, "I don't want to steal. I never stole anything in my life." But they kept at it. They kept saying, "Dude, steal something." So I wish I could tell you that I harnessed all my Jesus pastor powers, but I didn't. They wanted me to steal, so I did. I stole a pack of grape Bubblicious bubble gum. I walked over, put it in my hand, looked around. I knew a SWAT team was going to close on me the second I did it. So I did it. I put it in my pocket, looked around, and nothing happened. And then my brain said, "But there's cameras everywhere." There were no cameras in this place. But in my brain, there were cameras. They were watching them. And so I'm like, okay, the cameras have me with a pack of gum in my hand. And now I don't have a pack of gum. What am I going to do? So I went back, and I got another pack of great Bubblicious bubble gum, and I went and paid for that one. So if they checked the videotape, they would see me paying for a pack of gum. And now, I know the moral, I'm supposed to say that I went back later and confessed. And I did none of that. I did not tell a soul. I never told anyone. In fact, Friday night, I told my family for the very first time that I was going to share the story with you. And my son, David, who's 10 years old, goes, "But Dad, if you tell that story, are you going to go to jail?" No, I'm not going to go to jail. And I don't even think I ate the gum. I'm pretty sure they took the gum. I don't even remember. But here's what I know. I know I've never stolen anything before. I know I've never stolen anything since. I'm 100% convinced I wouldn't have done it if they hadn't been around. And I know many, if not most, let's be honest, all of us in the room have similar stories. We all have examples of things we've done in our lives that we would not have done if they hadn't been around. Now, my hope is that yours was as funny and as innocent as me stealing a pack of Bubblicious bubble gum. But we all know that's not true. And just so you know, that wasn't my most innocent either. It's just the one I wanted to tell you. It was the one I was comfortable sharing on stage and being recorded to go on the internet forever. Because I'm sure some of your deepest, darkest, greatest regrets in life are because of they. Because they were around. See, teenagers, this is why your parents care so much about who your friends are and who you date It's because they know this fundamental truth we're going to talk about for the entire series. They know that they influence the direction and quality of our lives. They do. They influence it. Now, do you know why? It's because the thing that makes friendship so great is the thing that makes friendship so dangerous. It's because we let our guard down around our friends. See, we are acceptance magnets. We chase acceptance. We run to acceptance. We live for acceptance. We are repelled by rejection, and we are attracted to acceptance. And what you've never actually realized, because you never thought about it, but as soon as I say it, you're going to nod your head and say, of course that's true. Acceptance leads to influence in your life. When you are somewhere where you are accepted, where you are welcome, where nobody's asking you to change, where you are fine and loved exactly how you are, it feels good. And you let your guard down, which, number one, is one of the reasons we try to be so accepting at Wellspring. It's because we want you to feel at home here. But it's why it's so dangerous who your friends are. It's so dangerous who your business partners are. It's so dangerous who you date. Because you let your guard down and you are never more open to influence than when you are accepted. And adults, this isn't just a truth for teenagers. You know this just as well. There are some of you in the room right now who are participating in things, who are doing things, who are thinking things, who are saying things that before you would have criticized someone else for doing. If you have any religious background at all, you might have actually called those things a sin at some point in your life. And now they're not. Now they're okay. Now they're acceptable. And I would guarantee you it's because of they in your life. It's because there's a new friend. It's because there's a new business partner. It's because there's a new boyfriend, and he is so dreamy. It's because there's a new girlfriend. And they are beginning to have an influence on your life. They are beginning to change how you feel and how you think. And that's why we're starting a series today, a three-week series, all about they. Specifically, I want to talk about the right they. But before we can do that, let me ask you a question. Who are the they in your life right now? Who are the people in your life that have influence over the direction and quality of your life? These are the people that influence what you wear. These are the people that influence what you think. These are the people that influence what you watch. These are the people that influence how you vote. These are the people that influence who you date. These are the people that influence whether or not you attend church. These are the people who influence your moral decisions. Who are the they in your life? Because you've got to figure that out, because they are going to determine the direction and quality of your life. So really, what the series is all about is, if they're going to do that, shouldn't we work really hard to make sure that we have the right they in our lives? See, that's what we're going to talk about in this series, because God has a ton to say about the right they. He has a ton to say about who you should give the power in your life to have influence over it and to influence the direction of it. We have to be careful about that. We have to check it out. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to spend the next 3 weeks talking about some principles that God gives us for determining the right they. And here's the great news. These principles are going to work whether you believe in God or not. If you're here today and you believe in God and you believe in Jesus, you can apply these principles to your life and you will find the right day and the quality and direction of your life will improve. If you're here today and you don't believe in God at all, you think it's crazy, again, you're here because somebody invited you, they promised you lunch afterwards, which if they did, good, make sure they buy you lunch because that's a promise and they better hold to it. But you're here today, you know, it doesn't matter. You can apply these principles in your life and I guarantee you, your life will also improve. It'll get better because God's principles are true whether you believe them or not. So it doesn't matter where you fall on the spectrum today. You can take what you're going to learn today and the rest of the series, you can apply it. And it'll change your life. And so what we're going to do is we're going to start today. This is going to be a three-week series. And some of you attend Wellspring regularly, so you know a lot of our series build on each other. And today's one of those. This series is going to build on each other. Basically, today, my goal is to present to you one foundational principle to help you discover and move towards the right they in your life. All right? Today, I'm going to give you that principle. And then for the next 2 weeks, we're kind of going to figure out how it works and how it applies. But I'm going to tell you right now, today, you are going to leave with more questions than answers. I'm going to get you right to this point. I'm going to confuse you. You're basically going to leave thinking you can't be friends with anybody in your life. You know? And good, because the goal is to get you to think about it this week and then come back next week, right? Because this is a three-week series, and it's going to take 3 weeks to cover everything we're going to do. So what I'm asking you to do right now, before I even move forward, is just go ahead and decide, okay, I'm already here 1 week. I can come back 2 more, 3 weeks, because again, they are going to determine the quality and direction of your life. 3 weeks is not too high a price. It's really 2 weeks. You're already here now. It's just 2 more. And if you miss, we put them up online, and you can check them out. But really, 3 weeks for the rest of your life. I think it's a pretty fair trade. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And the reason we're talking about this, as I said, the foundational point of this whole thing is that they influence the direction and quality of our lives. So let's make sure that we have the right they. Now, how do we define the right they? How would you go about defining the right they? For some of you, the right they makes you go, hey, hey, hey. Do you like that? It rhymed. For some of you, yeah, the right they are the right they because they got the right car. The right they are the right they because they have the right job opportunity at the right time. And you say, sure, I'm going to partner with you, or they have a great business idea. But what I want to do today is I want to go back and I want to look at what the God of the universe would say is the right they. Because if you attend Wellspring regularly, or if it's your first time, you need to know, we don't do things at this church based on what I want to do, based on what you want to do, based on what feels right, based on what everybody wants to do. We try to base every decision we have on what God would want for our life, because we believe God's way is best. And God actually speaks very clearly to us about the right they. Today we're going to look at two men who knew the importance of the right they and who speak about the right they. The first guy is this guy named King Solomon. King Solomon was King David's son. You probably heard of King David, the story of David and Goliath. The same guy. He had a son. His name was Solomon. Solomon became the king of Israel after him. And what we're told is that King Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. And he wrote several books in what we call the Bible in the Old Testament. And one of them is a book of basically wise sayings and foundational principles, and it's called the Book of Proverbs, right? And in the Book of Proverbs, King Solomon speaks directly about this issue. So we're going to look at what King Solomon says about finding the right day. And then we're going to jump to the New Testament, and we're going to look at what this guy named Jesus. Probably heard of Jesus. You may not believe in Jesus, but you probably heard of Jesus. We do believe in Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. We base our life on him. And he comes right in and basically picks up right where Solomon leaves off and gives us a very clear principle for how to find the right day in our lives. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open the Book of Proverbs, where we're going to be. Book of Proverbs, chapter 13. And what Solomon does is Solomon comes at it from this way. He says, hey, look, the people in your life are going to determine the direction and quality of your life. So make sure you have the right people. Make sure you have the right day. And in Proverbs chapter 13, starting in verse 20, here's what he says. He says, walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. Walk with the wise and become wise. Wise. What he's saying is that wisdom is contagious. When you hang out with people that are brighter than you, that are smarter than you, that are wiser than you, that make better decisions than you do, it's going to rub off on you. And you are going to make wiser decisions as well. You've experienced this in your life. You all have friends that are smarter than you. At least I hope you do. If you don't, get new friends. Or none of your friends like you because they all know they're smarter than you and you're ridiculous. But what he's saying is, he said, hey, if you hang out with wise people, if you make sure you hang out with smart people, if you hang out with people that know more than you and are smarter than you and better at finance than you and better at the relationships than you, it's going to rub off on you. And you're going to get better as well. This is a principle I've applied in my life for at least 20 years. I try to surround myself with people that know more than me. I try to surround myself with people that are smarter than me and better than me because I know they're going to make me better. I have two very good friends here in Myrtle Beach, two close friends. One of them is a builder, and one of them is a banker. And they are both better at those things than I am. So, 6 to 8 months ago, when we began the project of getting ready to renovate this space and move in, guess what? I talked to the builder about how to build the building. And I talked to the banker about how to bank the building. And they were smarter and wiser than me. And so we made smarter and wiser decisions than I would have made. Me, my builder, my banker, and my candlestick maker, right? You just got to put it all together. I don't really know a candlestick maker. Do those exist anymore? I don't think they do. But you know this, right? You've experienced this. And here's the cool thing, right? Because Solomon writes this, because it is in the Bible, this isn't a might happen. This isn't an idea. This is a promise from God. He is saying, if you walk with the wise, you will become wise. This will happen. So that's the promise. But then Solomon gives us a warning. He says, walk with the wise and become wise. But then he says, for a companion of fools suffers harm. So he's saying, if you associate with wise people, you're going to become wise. If you associate with fools, you're going to become foolish. See, that's not what he says. That's not what he says. He says, if you associate with fools, you will suffer harm. And that is a tremendous distinction that you cannot miss. Teenagers, you cannot miss this. Parents of teenagers, you cannot miss this. Because what you're doing right now, even as you're beginning to think about some of the people in your life that have authority in your life, some of the people in your life that speak in and you listen to them and you trust them and you value their opinion, you know they're not the right today. You know they're morons, they're fools, they're crazy. You've been calling them fools your whole life, but you listen to them, right? And what you always tell yourself is, it's okay, I'll never become like them. I'll never do what they do. Solomon doesn't say you'll do what they do. Solomon says you will suffer harm because of what they do. Do you see the difference? Solomon says if you associate with fools, if you surround yourself with fools, you are going to suffer harm because of their actions. And again, unfortunately, we all know this is true. Some of us have friends in our lives who can't walk because of this truth. Some of you, just last night, or maybe in the last week or so, you are out with they, and they are fools. And they did something foolish, and you suffered the consequences. You got kicked out just like they did. You were up at Broadway. You were just partying along, right? You didn't do anything wrong, but they were. And guess what? The bouncer didn't care that you weren't doing what they did. You're with them. And he associated you with them. And you all got kicked out. You all suffered harm. Why? Because once again, this is a promise. Solomon's not saying maybe. Solomon's not saying if. He's saying, hey, walk with the wise and you'll become wise. But a companion of fools, they're going to suffer harm. A companion of fools is going to have these things happen. They're going to pay for the mistakes. Now, how do we know this is true? Foundational principle of the series is because they influence the direction and quality of our lives. So, how do we find the right they? Well, Solomon would say, gravitate towards wise people and stop giving the fools as much influence over your life. And some of you are saying, but all my friends are fools. Even my smart friends are fools. And some of the fools say really smart things sometimes. It's very confusing. I don't know what to do. I know it's hard. It's hard to walk through life knowing, okay, who's wise and who's foolish? How do we decide? How are we certain that this person is someone who should speak into our life? Well, wouldn't you know it? We don't have to answer the question for ourselves. Remember, I said we're going to look at two guys today. There's this guy's name's Jesus. And he actually defines for us what it means to be wise. And he defines for us what it means to be a fool. It's almost like he picked up exactly where Solomon left off and said, hey, that's going to be a little confusing. Let me clarify this for everybody. Let me make it crystal clear what it means to be wise. And let me make it crystal clear what it means to be a fool. So we're going to turn to Jesus now. We're actually going to turn to one of Jesus' most famous sermons. If you have any knowledge of Jesus at all, even if you don't believe in Jesus, or maybe you just think Jesus is a great moral teacher, you have heard of this sermon. This sermon is called the Sermon on the Mount. This is the sermon that everybody loves of Jesus. Even if you don't believe in Jesus, you love these teachings because this is where Jesus talked about turning the other cheek. This is where he talked about forgiving other people and loving other people. This is where he taught the golden rule. This is where he taught us to take care of the poor and take care of other people. All the things that you love, all the things that you wish Christians would act like. Right? If you're here today, you don't believe in Jesus, you probably said, man, if more Christians would just put into practice what Jesus said, I would become a Christian. And I understand. I wish the same thing, but it hasn't happened yet. But Jesus still said it. And it's what we all aspire to. And in the very same sermon where Jesus taught all those things that you like, even if you don't believe in Jesus, you like these things. At the very end of the sermon, as Jesus is wrapping it up, he says something that is so crystal clear that it gives us a perfect foundation for how to determine the right thing, for how to know who's wise and who's foolish. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn now to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew's the first book in what we call the New Testament. Matthew is a follower of Jesus, and he wrote this as an eyewitness account. This is the first biography we have of Jesus' life. We have four biographies, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, written by, wait for it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were real creative. And so in Matthew chapter 7, he picks up. Jesus has just finished Sermon on the Mount, and then he says this at the very end of the message. He says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it. Now you got to focus on that first word. He says, anyone. Anyone who listens to me and follows me. Anyone who can publicly acknowledge and say, you know what? He's God and I'm not. He knows more than I do. I'm going to listen to him. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to base my life on him and what he wants, not what I want. Anyone who listens to Jesus and follows him. Anyone who builds their life on Jesus. Are you ready for this? Anyone who does that is wise. That's the key. Anyone who does that, Jesus says, they're wise. Because what they're acknowledging is the fundamental truth we all have to get. We're not God. And when we try to be God, it never works out well. And so what Jesus is saying is, anyone who gets that, anyone who understands there is a God and I'm not him, and that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and if we just put our faith in him and follow him with our life, we're going to be led to the best life possible. Anyone who builds their life on him is wise. Why? Because they're like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Like a person who builds their house on a firm foundation. Some of you have learned the hard way the importance of a good foundation. We live in Myrtle Beach. We got a lot of sand. You need a firm foundation. Why? Well, Jesus tells us. Why is this so important? Because though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. You know this. Now, what this means for our lives is this. What Jesus is saying, anyone who listens to my teaching and applies it, anyone who says I'm God and you're not, anyone who bases their life on me is wise because they built their life on a firm foundation. See this? Because the rains are going to come. The storms are going to come. See, Christianity doesn't mean that nothing bad ever happens to you. It doesn't mean that you don't ever get sick, that people don't ever lie about you, that bad things don't happen. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means when that happens, you're not alone. And you have something stronger to cling to than yourself. Your house, your life is built on a firm foundation, the foundation of Jesus. So when the bad things happen, you can weather the storm. Jesus is saying that's wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what you don't know. Wisdom is acknowledging what you are and what you're not. Wisdom is saying, I'm not God, he is, I'm going to follow him. That's wisdom. Now, Jesus isn't done. He's defined wise. Then he says this. He says, but anyone, again, anyone, geniuses, scholars, billionaires, brain surgeons, anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it, anyone who says, you know what? I think I got this. I think I'm good. I think I can figure all this out. I don't need any help. I'm good. I'm smart enough. I can figure this whole thing out. Anyone who does that is foolish. Anyone. Why? Same reason. Like a person who builds a house on sand. Now, come on. We live in Myrtle Beach. If you saw somebody building a house on sand with no foundation, no pilings, you would think they were pretty stupid. Right? I know some of you and how much money you spent to get the foundation right for your house. You had to bring in dirt. You had to bring in dirt to put on top of the dirt to make it good dirt. Some of you, you had to dig down deep and you had to put pilings in to make sure you had a firm foundation. Why? Because you knew what would happen if you didn't. When the rains come and the floods and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. That's what happens when you build your house on sand, when you build your house on a bad foundation. And what Jesus is saying is a fool builds their life on a bad foundation. And when that mighty crash happens, hear me, teenagers. Hear me, parents of teenagers. When that mighty crash happens, guess who's going to get hurt? You. Because a companion of fools suffers harm. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so crucial to make sure the they in your life are the right they. So, how do we know? How do we know the right they? How do we discern the difference? Well, Solomon says, follow wise. Walk with the wise, you'll become wise. Companion of fools suffers harm. Jesus comes in and says, hey, let me go ahead and clarify for you. Let me explain to you what that means. A wise person is a person who understands that they're not that wise. A wise person is a person who gets that they don't know everything, that they'll never know everything, but that they can tap into the source of everything, and they can build their life on Jesus, and he can take them down the right path. That's what it means to be wise. And a fool is someone who says, no, thank you. I don't need any of that. I can do it all myself. So, what I want you to do today is I want you to begin to inspect the they in your life. I know that sounds judgmental. I don't know, Trey. Really, I'm supposed to check it? Yes, yes. I want you to inspect the they. Because the foundational principle we're going to talk about today is so abundantly clear. Because if you want the right they, which you better want the right they, because they are going to determine the direction and future of your life. They're going to determine the quality of your life. The number one thing you need to look for in the right they, the number one thing that needs to be right on the top of your list, even if you don't believe in God yourself, the number one identifier of the right they is that when you look at they have he right in the middle. Now, come on, that's good. Come on. The right they, they have he in the middle. They build their lives on Jesus. Now, does that mean they're perfect? Of course not. Does that mean they never make a mistake? Of course not. It just means that they have built their life on a firm foundation. So, what is my challenge for you today? You need to find as many people as you can that love Jesus as much as they can, and you need to get as close as you can and listen as much as you can. That's what you need to do. Even if you're here today and you don't believe in Jesus, you think he's crazy, I don't care. Find a bunch of people that do and listen to them. And you know what's funny? Some of you are here today because that person in your life's been inviting you and you didn't want to come. And see, here's what I know. I know that they're in your life because you know they give the best advice, because they give Christ-centered advice, but you don't like it and you don't want to hear it because it's things you don't want to do. It's what you know you're supposed to do, but you don't want to do them because it's not as fun, because they tell you things like, yeah, you should break up with that person, because you should break up with that person. They tell you things like, I don't know if I take that job, man. I don't know if that's good. They tell you things like, I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't do that. They say things like, nothing good happens after 2 a.m. because nothing good happens after 2 a.m. Teenagers, nothing good happens after 11 p.m. Why is this? Adults, nothing good happens after 11 p.m. See, teenagers, what happens is the parents are loving this message. They're loving it because they're like, he's telling them what she needs to hear. This is so great. She's going to break up with him. Oh, she needs the right day. But they need the right day too. Because this doesn't just stop with teenagers. Adults, some of you, man, some of you, you walk in with the wrong day and you know you are. You know it. They're leading you down paths. You know you shouldn't go, but you don't know what to do. What is good news? I got 2 more weeks. So I encourage you to come back next week, because next week what we're going to do is we're going to pick up right here. And next week we're going to look at really the danger of teaming up, the danger of partnering with the wrong thing, and the steps we need to take. And then the last week, I'm going to let everybody off the hook, because here's, I know what you're all thinking. I'm going to have to drop all my friends. I'm going to have to unfriend everybody on Facebook. I'm going to be a loser for Jesus. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to have any friends at all. No. Trust me. I'm not going to ask you to cut anybody out of your life. I'm going to challenge you, though, to take away their influence on your life. I am going to challenge you to do that. But what I want you to do today, I want you to remember this truth, that the right day have he in the middle. And I want you to begin looking at the they in your life. I'm going to challenge you, on the way out, we're going to give you a card, and I'm going to challenge you this week to do a friend inventory. It's a pun, Keith. It's a pun. I'm told puns are funny. I don't think they are, but I'm told they are. So I want you to do a friend inventory, okay? Now, don't tell your friends you're doing a friend inventory, or they won't be your friends anymore. But what I want you to do is take these questions, because these questions are going to help you discern whether or not they are the right they. Okay? Because that's really the question here. Are they the right they? Right? So take these questions, and here's question number 1. Do they motivate me to love God more? That one's simple. When I'm around them, is it easier to do what God wants me to do, or is it more difficult to do what God wants me to do? If being around them makes it more difficult to follow God, teenagers, stop being around them. Stop dating them now. Parents of teenagers, stop being around them. Singles, stop being around them. Stop it. You got to stop it, because they are going to determine the quality and direction of your life. And so, do they motivate me to love God more? Number 2, do they celebrate God's blessings in my life? Oh, when you went on that last vacation and you put every picture on Facebook for a week, did they celebrate you, or did they talk about you behind your back? When good things happen to you, are they happy, or do they get all haughty and say, well, who do you think you are? You know they had to get 2 mortgages to afford that house.
He's leasing that car. He didn't buy it.
I'm just asking, do they celebrate God's blessing? Because the right day, they celebrate it when God moves in your life. Because they understand that everything's a gift from God. It's all a gift from God. And so they celebrate the blessings in your life. Number 3, do they have my back? Are they loyal? Do they say the same things about you when you're in the room and when you leave the room? Come on now. Do they talk about you the same way when you're there and when you're not? Or do they get together with your friends and have a Baptist prayer request off? say, well, we just need to pray for Sarah. She's dating a guy that I don't think's right for her. And, you know, they just go on and on and on and on. Do they have my back? When someone starts coming at you, when someone starts saying bad things about you, are they going to stand in the gap and say, that's my friend and you have crossed the line? Or are they going to sit on the sideline and say, well, I just didn't know what to say? Not saying anything is agreeing with them, by the way. Number four, do they hold me accountable out of love and friendship? Meaning, when you do step out of line, when you say things you shouldn't say, when you hurt people, are they kind about it? Do they come to you out of love and say, hey, I think you hurt so-and-so's feelings. I don't think you should have done that. And do they do it out of love? Or are they like the gotcha police and they're just waiting for you to mess up? And they can't wait. And the second you mess up, they go, gotcha! Ha-ha! You blew it, and I'm going to tell the world on Facebook. I'm just saying, they probably do. Number five, do they have the right they in their lives? Are they surrounding themselves with people who love Jesus and follow him? Or are they surrounding themselves with people that don't? So that's what I want you to do this week. I want you to just simply think. I want you to just simply observe, simply look, simply begin to just take notice in your life. And as you're doing it, I want you to observe they. Because they are there. And they are going to determine the quality and direction of your life. And whether you believe in Jesus or not, you want to surround yourself with people that do. Because they're wise. They're going to give you wise advice. Because the advice isn't about them. The advice is about what Jesus would want you to do. And anybody that's going to push you towards Jesus is someone you want pushing you. And anybody that's going to pull you away from Jesus, well, we'll talk about that next week. For this week, just remember our foundational principle. Here we go. The right they have he in the middle. The right they understand that true wisdom comes from knowing what you don't know. From saying, Jesus, you're God and I'm not. I'm going to submit my life to you. Look for those people. Surround yourself with those people. Take their advice. And watch what God will do. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you that your word is so clear and that we understand what it is we're supposed to do. And we, God, I just pray right now you give us courage and give us strength to believe this truth and to begin to apply it. That if we walk with the wise, we become wise. But the companion of fools is going to suffer harm. Father, we know that we have suffered harm. But remind us, we get to pick. We get to pick who they are in our lives. So, Father, give us the wisdom to choose the right they. May we choose people that build their lives on you. They have he in the middle. And, Father, I pray you bring us back next week so that we can understand how serious this really is and what it is you've actually called us to do and how to begin to take steps to surround ourselves with the right they, but also not abandon them. Not abandon the people who don't follow you yet. Because you have us placed there so that we can play a role in their lives. We love you, Father. We can't wait to see what you're going to do. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.